Blog Talk Radio.
What happens when God moves in to our lives and challenges a long-held self-understanding or perception? What does it mean when God challenges the way we see ourselves, the way we see ourselves? It is one thing to say that I belong to the Lord, we were bought with a price. And if we listen carefully to the words, we were bought with a price. And we think about who we are and whose we are, then there should be a decided change in our own attitudes. Good morning. I'm Dr. Josiah Rich, and welcome to the Matacost. This morning's show is entitled, The Lord is Long-Nosed Toward Us. Once again, let me state that Hebrew is a concrete language, and so instead of using the Western term patient, I'm using the Hebrew term for patience, which is long-nosed, and this is found in the book of Nahum. But before we get to the book of Nahum, I want to discuss some things with you from the book of Jonah, or Yonah. And because the book of Jonah goes along with the book of Nahum, there's some very important spiritual jewels for you and I in both these books. And so, I'm going to begin with Jonah chapter 1, and it reads as follows. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. And so here is the formulaic sending thing that we find so frequently in the Old Testament. And we have in verse 1 a summary statement of the mission of Jonah. He was to be obedient to the Lord. But there's a message behind this message that makes Jonah rebel, or in the Hebrew, rear up at these words from God. Now, the Ninevites had been enemy of Israel. And so God is sending Jonah into the arena where he must take the word of repentance, the message of repentance, the message of God's love to his enemies. Once again, Jonah had a self-understanding, a particular self-understanding entrenched in his own culture, that is the culture of the Hebrew people. Now, God is asking him to step out beyond his provincial self-understanding in order to do his will. Now, God will do this and it can be frustrating and confusing. And it is frustrating and confusing because we have a cherished self-understanding and a particular way in which we see ourselves that's reinforced by our particular cultural norms and standards. So this was a breach to Jonah of who he was. And God was asking him to do the unthinkable. God was asking him to do the unspeakable. So there is a reaction that goes on within Jonah's heart. Anger. Because he is thinking about himself. We invest a lot of time in building up ourselves. We invest a lot of time and care in grooming ourselves. And we invest our time in a particular way of being. God has moved in to the prophet's life. Now, the term for the word of God, or the word of the Lord, the Hebrew term is the word debar. And I love this Hebrew word because debar means event. Debar almost also means happening. That is, God's word, this is a very powerful verb, God's word set the prophet in a new situation. The devar, bar Yahweh, moved the prophet out from a particular way of being into the word of God. He was now entrance into a new situation. The Debar Yahweh had taken over his life and would not relent. The word of the Lord never relents. Jesus himself said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. This prophet was chosen for this job, and he must fulfill the Debar Yahweh. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, Jonah ben Amittai, son of Truth. Go. There's the verb. Some use the term missional. I've never been comfortable with that term. I like the old term. This was his duty. So he goes as a missionary to teach, to preach, to bring the Evangelion, to bring the good news of salvation to his enemies. And he is angered by the Debar Yahweh. He is angry that God would ask him to do such an absurd thing. So, verse 2, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it its sin. It's long-standing sin. It's outrageous sin. Because its wickedness has come up before me. The word for wickedness here is ra. Ra is a very interesting Hebrew word. Some say ra. Ra. Ra binds together into one the wicked deed and its consequences. Ra also means a breach of harmony and the breaking up of what is good and desirable in man and society. Now, this word is probably unfamiliar to many, but this is a very powerful term. And So it is a term that is used throughout the Old Testament. It is unlikely we would find its equivalent in English, but the term is Ra, for it's before me. But look at verse 3. Verse 3 records Jonah's response to the word of God, or to Yedebar Yahweh. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. So, now it becomes more involved, because now we see what is going on in the heart of Jonah. In the English it reads, but Jonah ran away. In the Hebrew it reads, but Jonah arose. Or literally, Jonah reared up. Jonah reared up. And so here we see that Jonah was himself in Pasha. And Pasha is a term that signifies revolt, or to refuse subjection to rightful authority. Pasha is also used in Proverbs 28:13. So Pasha signifies a revolt or a refusal to be subject to rightful authority. Chapter 1 in the book of Jonah is about rebellion. Jonah goes down. When we refuse the will of God, when we refuse to defy Yahweh, we go down. It is important to study the fact that God chose this man. God knew what was in his heart. God chooses you and I, and God knows what is in our hearts as well. Psalmist states that before we are consciously aware of a particular thought we're going to have, the Lord already knows it. The Lord already knows it. God knows us. He knows what is in our hearts. This is a marvelous thing about the love of God. He knows us completely. Those parts of ourselves that we like to hide from ourselves, God knows those parts of ourselves. Those parts of ourselves that we believe are the good parts of ourselves, God knows that. God saved the whole person. God redeemed the entire person. So, Jonah is called of God to go and speak against the Ra, or the wickedness of Nineveh, and he himself, Pasha. So, he is the perfect witness. And he does not register the rebellion in his own heart against the will of God. That is always something we can deal with, because it pertains to us, we are. But those over there, those other ones who are engrossed in heinous rebellion or sin, we can point them out with thee. But notice what God is doing. God is taking Jonah, and God is relentless, that he is going to shape Jonah into the witness that he needs. The God is the potter. Ultimately, he is the potter. We are clay. Who can say to him, what doest thou? This is the thing of the book of Job, the freedom of God. And that can be wonderfully comforting for those who do not like the absolute freedom of God. It can be a terrifying reality. That God is love, and he is the God who cannot lie, and he is the God of truth. So God as his servant, and he is going to shape his servant into the witness that he needs. God knows that Jonah ben Amittai is in Pasha. That doesn't make God lure back in surprise. God knows what is in his heart. God knows Jonah is angry. And Jonah confesses to God that he was pleased with God and that he was angry with him in chapter 4. Let me read briefly chapter 4, verse 1. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. Reads here, this word for angry means kindled to burn. He was kindled by what? Well, listen. Verse 2 of chapter 4. He prayed to the Lord, O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger. In the Hebrew, it reads, long of no, slow to anger, and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. Now, why am I emphasizing concrete term long of no's? Because in Hebrew, to be short of no's means anger. And notice what happens physiologically to people when they are angry, when they go off on you, as it were. They become short of no's. Notice the breathing. Notice the pupils. Notice the flight response is engaged. Notice the muscles tense, and notice the breathing of angry people. Notice their breathing, not breathing pattern, if you can. Watch what happens. This is Jonah's acting against God. O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. Now, I want you to notice very carefully. Look at these verses. Notice how many times the pronoun I is used. O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, long of nose and abounding in love, of God who relents from sending calamity, or the Hebrew word is ra. Now, O Lord, take away my life, pronoun my, for it is better for me to die than to live. Listen to the language. And think about the self-centeredness. Close your eyes. think about the self-centeredness. If you can, close your eyes. I don't know where you are. And think about it. Think about the selfishness of the language. Guess what? God loves the Ninevites, and God loves Jonah. See, God is not provincial. God is not merely a local deity. He was not really the deity of the mountains, because the Hebrews settled in the mountains, to the hill country. He was never a localized deity. He is Lord of all. He is the creator. All nations come and the Lord and his leadership. Look at verse 4, chapter 4. But the Lord replied, have you any right to be angry? Okay. Now, God didn't stop to get Jonah's therapeutic alliance. And indeed, Jonah ben Amittai was not in therapy. He had a prophetic mission. And the messenger formula that we read in chapter 1, verse 1, was directly given to him by God. He must fulfill the book of God. This is a different viewpoint. Please understand that therapeutic alliance is provincial. Please understand that the recipes and the therapies of the West and Western thinking have nothing to do with the particular thought form that we are thinking about and we are studying today. But the Lord replied, after Jonah's tirade, have you any right to be angry? Now Jonah, notice verse 5, Jonah went out and sat down at the place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat in its shade and waited to see what would happen to the city. Look at God's love for the prophet. Then the Lord God provided a vine and made it grow up over Jonah to give him shade for his head to ease his discomfort. In Hebrew, the word discomfort is ra. God is healing. Here's the healing of Jonah's chagrin. And Jonah was very happy about the vine. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the vine so that it withered. Sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, Tarako. And the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. So notice this prophet. In verse 3 of chapter 4, he says the same thing. Dot, dot, dot. For it is better for me to die than to live. He says it again. Verse 9. But God said to Jonah, here's God's query. Do you have a right to be angry about the vine? I do, he said. I am angry enough to die. Prophets, self-understanding, has a certain malignancy that God is pointing out, that God is bringing out, that God is illustrating. God is patient with him. God is long-nosed toward him. And the prophet, in his self-righteous anger, does not stop to consider what is at stake and what God is, what God wants him to understand. Verse 9, but God said to Jonah, "Do you have a right to be angry about the vine?" "I do. Angry enough to die." But the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this vine, but you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell the right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city?" Very interesting. And the book ends there. The book ends at that place. And the prophet did go about to do the will of God. In chapter 3, we read that the word of God came to Jonah a second time. "Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you." Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very important city. The visit required 3 days. Verse 5 reads, "The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. The prophet was disappointed at their repentance." You see how God used a particular individual with a particular attitude. An individual who was self-centered in many ways. But we see that God gave him a second chance in chapter 3. Jonah saw himself in a particular way. God challenged that self-perception, that way of understanding, because God is long-nosed. God is patient toward us. God wants us involved in his will. This is not about therapeutic alignment. This is about being obedient to the will of God. Being at rest in the will of God. Being at peace in the will of God. Focusing upon the will of God. Doing the will of God from the heart. Not straying from his will. Knowing that if I obey the will of God, I will have a life of prosperity and peace. Being in the will of God is the best. Does it come with challenges? Yes, it does. I'm also thankful, though, that I have a God who is long-nosed toward me. When I'm in rebellion and when I think I'm doing his will and I thought, he's patient with me. We must stay in the word of God, that we may learn the will of God. Have a wonderful day, beloved. I'm Dr. Josiah Rich. God bless you.